Zion Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Zion Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is
March 7th, 2019.
In turmoil, most of us do not realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please, folks, make this choice for Yeshua tonight if you haven't already. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message.
You can reach us at, the phone number is 620-878-4682.
Wait a minute. We've had that for a very long time.
678-4682.
Is that kind of like when you went to the pregnancy doctor and you had to ask me where you lived at?
And I had my phone number for 20 years and couldn't remember my phone number. My address, that's what it was. Where do I live? What's my address? Yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah, okay.
And in an emergency, you can reach Dan on his cell phone at 316-619-4886. A text is better because of all the silly calls we get. So call 316-619-4886.
I thought you said text.
A call is a text.
That shows you what folks at 34 years, women are all the same. They can change their mind just like that. Anyway, you can always find updates of the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all at our ministry hub, which is simply
prophecyhour.com.
We are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the international. It's on YouTube and some FM stations, so pray about supporting airtime. On another note,
let's thank our listener base as in Kampala, Uganda.
Kampala, Uganda.
Okay, that one. Radati, Saudi Arabia.
That's Riyadh.
Okay, Riyadh.
Riyadh.
Okay, well, Saudi Arabia.
Yeah,
Dudley, UK. What's UK?
You don't know what the UK is.
Being silly.
Okay,
Paris, France, and of course the good old USA, such as Plano, Texas, Boston, Massachusetts.
Mesa, Arizona. Sorry, folks.
Well, it should be MASA.
You're not a mess down there.
It should be MASA then, because Mesa is MESA. Mesa is MASA. Anyway, Mesa, Arizona, Raleigh, and North Carolina, and these are just to name a few of the places. Wichita, Kansas remains the largest group of listeners, which podcast later tonight.
Yeah, folks, follow us and share us on Twitter, Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77, that's at Twitter. Okay, now for your Heavenly Father and Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio comes out as you want, not as we want, Father. Guide us in what we say and do to inform the people. Lift the veil from their hearts and their eyes and their ears. Just lift the veil from them so they can see and hear the truth. So please, Father, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tell them hello.
Shalom, everybody. Hope you're doing well. And I'm glad the weather's warming up finally.
Yeah, well, I guess they're finally probably figuring out that you're here a few times a month.
Yep, I'm not hard to miss.
That's a fact. Anyway, do you have any good news or anything you want to share before we go in?
Best news of all is it's warming up finally.
Yeah, I'm really tired of this stuff. I don't know about you folks, but this cold weather that we've been having, it's been really extremely making my knees hurt. First, it was just one knee, but that's my bad knee that I've had operation on and all that. But then my other knee, there's been nothing wrong with it. It started hurting, and so I've been worried, you know. Anyway,
It's just because you've been around so long.
Are you insinuating something?
I won't say the word. You can say it if you want.
Moving right along. Anyway, so nothing other than that, huh?
No, it just comes with the being around so long.
Okay, somebody do something about her. Okay, now moving right along. I don't know what to say. No, okay. All right. You know, we've been talking about, and so have other guests, you know, lots of things. Two main things keep coming back up, actually three, the whole post of them. First off, I really, really want to emphasize to the people that things are getting pretty desperate. There's some of these things that we're going to talk about tonight, especially this one, and I don't know if we'll even have time to go into anything else. I really want you need to pray about, you need to pray about what will happen in the United States. We'll get to the end of it and then you'll know better. Okay. Mom, I want you to read this one first.
The U.S. peace plan will divide Jerusalem, Saudi reporter.
Okay. That's Saudi Arabia, folks. And Saudi Arabia, we've been talking on this radio program, not only with my wife, but when we talked with Tom Horn about the temple and things, he even brought it up too, and we've been seeing it, Jared Kushner has been going and talking with the nations around Israel to accept, a peace deal, to try to get a peace deal. Well, they've been real receptive to it, and they were talking about taking the sovereignty of the, actually what they, while Jordan really controls the Temple Mount and the religious sites in Israel or in Jerusalem, Saudi Arabia really has the upper hand on that and can change it. So, let's move on with this, and folks, this is by Alon Inhorn, and this was published just a few days, it was published today. So, okay, go ahead and read this.
Okay, Saudi Arabia has been in touch with the U.S. administration regarding the peace initiative, as it is rumored that the deal will include recognition of Israel by surrounding Arab countries.
Right, that's just what I said, and we already knew that before this article came out, but go ahead.
Okay. A senior reporter for the Al Arada, one of Saudi Arabia's most prominent newspapers, claimed that the U.S. President Donald Trump's deal of the century will divide Jerusalem.
Stop. Now, you know, many Bible scholars believe, I'm not somebody that interprets the Bible unless it plainly says this is it, in a sense that I don't do a lot of guesses. I believe a lot of things, but I'm not going to say, I'm back to that. I don't go, thus saith the Lord. You know, it looks like that. To me and many other Bible scholars, it looks like absolutely that Jerusalem will be divided when Yeshua returns. That will, okay, go ahead.
Okay, the reporter Holly Honest wrote on her Twitter account that the old city of Jerusalem will be divided in half. The Arab and the Christian quarters will go to the Palestinian Authority, while the Jewish and American quarters will fall under the Israeli control.
Okay, and that's Armenian, but that's okay. The Jewish and Armenian quarters will fall under Israeli control. So this does, and you know, if there's a peace deal, I've been waiting for something like this. You know, no, it just shows to go you that nobody ever keeps their mouth shut. This peace deal is supposed to be a secret, you know, until it's released, right?
Oh, well, anything of Trump, they're going to try and reveal, no matter if it's supposed to be silent or not, right?
Right, but that goes, per se, with about anything, though. You know, it's not just Trump. It's just that everything comes out. Nobody keeps their mouth shut nowadays, period.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, they used to. I mean, I can remember a time when people kept their mouth shut, and when people didn't keep their mouth shut, they were really looked down.
Classified was classified. No, it's not.
Right, but anyway, and so.
Okay. He further tweeted that the Arab areas adjacent to the Palestinian area A and B will go to the future Palestinian capital of East Jerusalem.
Okay, so it looks like in the peace plan, Jerusalem will be split up. Part in East Jerusalem, they will have the Palestinian capital. None of that sounds good. Go ahead.
Saudi Arabia has been in touch with the U.S. administration regarding the peace initiative, as it was rumored that the deal will include recognition of Israel by surrounding Arab countries. Yes, we have been following that. Jerusalem will also always remain the undivided capital of Israel and is not something to be bargained with. The CEO of the Zionist organization, Emma Terezu, responded to the report. With the upcoming elections in Israel, it is important that the public understands that the repercussions of this deal and vote only for the parties who vow to not give up even an inch of Jerusalem.
Okay. Now, so that part was by a different person, not the same person that wrote the original article, but this is somebody with a comeback saying, no, and, you know, submitting to this is just craziness. It's an inevitability. If it is indeed what the scripture said, that Jerusalem's going to be divided before Israel, or before Yeshua returns, then the prospect of saying, okay, of us screaming about it, saying, no, 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 you see what I'm saying? You know, Bible prophecy, if that's what it says, that's what it says.
You're not going to stop it even if you want to.
Right, right. So here's the problem. So if it gets divided, I also believe there these same negotiations are talking about a third temple. So if the third temple gets built, which, by the way, folks, isn't the final temple, but we'll go into that into a minute, but if the third temple gets built, you know, it's not going to be by mandate of Yeshua, because it will be the defiled temple of the Antichrist, that it will be defiled by him, but it will still, they'll be bringing back animal sacrifices and things, and we'll go into that a little bit later. But the point is it will be, you know, these things have got to happen. We're going to see them happen. But anyway, so the guy's saying, no, don't do that. Don't know it had bad results. Well, we're going to go in. So do we have an example? Now, here's the question for you, folks. We need to have an example. You know, let me go down here to this first. Okay. Now then, there was a covenant made, and I'm sure you know this, Abraham's covenant, Mom, right? Okay,
mm-hmm.
You know what that is. It's an everlasting, we studied all the covenants over to Mission Church, but the covenant with Abraham is an everlasting covenant. When the Father says everlasting, everlasting means everlasting. It was not done away with. In fact, it's the everlasting covenant is indeed the covenant of grace, as people call it, that actually allows Gentiles to be grafted in through this covenant of grace. And so part of that covenant, though, you know, there's different parts of the covenant, but one of this part of this everlasting covenant is this. Now, I'll let you read that, and then I'll talk about it.
Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed.
Okay, so in this, Yeshua was promised all of the earth shall be blessed by his Abraham's seed. And so if you follow the seed starts clear back. We hear in Genesis, the first of Genesis, you know, Eve said that her seed would crush the devil's head, you know, crush his skull and defeat the devil. And that's Yeshua. And so then the promised seed is given through Abraham and his generations, you know, which is Israel. And in fact, Yeshua was and indeed from the tribe of Judah. So, but part of that also, this is Abraham's covenant is the title deed to the land. The land that was given to Abraham, he was supposed to go in and seize it. And, you know, truthfully, now the Israelites didn't keep everything they were supposed to do, and they were even put out of the land for a while. But even after they were put out of the land, the fodder kept that land Israel for them all this time. Now, when they were finally dispersed from the land, that land stayed desolate until Israel went back and became a nation. Although there's always been a Jewish presence in the land, the country went down, just like the Bible said, to being desolate. Nobody ever was able to successfully do anything there until after the Jews returned. When the Jews returned and Israel came back, then now it flourishes, right? You know, it's beautiful now, but it was desolate sand and everything. It was just nothing. And so, but anyway, giving that land belongs to Israel. Yes, the Canaanites were there prior, and that has nothing to do with the Palestinians or anything, but the Canaanites were a people that were infected with, we'll call it Satan's seed, so to speak. That's maybe a little strong, but it was fallen angels. You know, the Nephilim were there and everything, and that's where Goliath came from. You know, Goliath was a crossbreed. And so they inhabited the land. Their seed was corrupt, and that's why if anybody wonders why, you know, in the Word it says, the Father says, go in and kill everything. It's all corrupted. Kill it, kill it, kill it, kill it. It doesn't matter if it's a baby, adult, whatever, the seed is corrupted because of the Nephilim. So, you know, they were supposed to go in and wipe out all these nations, and they did not do so. They started to, but they didn't successfully do it. But they were told to seize the land. That land would be wherever Abraham set his foot. That was where belonged to Israel. And, in fact, right now, Israel is just a small portion of what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be bigger. Instead of giving away the land, they should be gaining back land. But the only one that's going to be able to gain all the land will be Yeshua, you know. And that'll be a millennial thing. So this is right. So this is the Father's promise for them to have the land. And so do we have any I'll say to the people, I'll say it to you. I'm going to show you what happened the last time we did a major land giveaway, you know, with the United States. Now, this article is by Culling World Watch Daily, and this is Hurricane Katrina, the incredible parallels between Israel and U.S. evacuation, and this is by Bill Culling. Now, Bill isn't the only one that made this. You know what I'm saying, there's a lot of articles out there that say the same thing. The coalition is just crazy on what they is. And I'll read this one. And this is from President Bush's speech pertaining to Israel on August 22nd, 2005. In the heart of the Middle East, a hopeful story, it says, is unfolding. After decades of shattered promises and stolen lives, peace is within the reach of the Holy Land. The Palestinian people have expressed their desire for sovereignty and peace and free and fair elections. President Abbas has rejected violence and taken steps toward democratic reform. That's a joke. Anyway, the past week, Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and Israeli people took a courageous and painful step by beginning to remove settlements in Gaza and parts of the northern West Bank. Now, remember, this is Bush talking. The Israeli disengagement is a historic step that reflects the bold leadership of Prime Minister Sharon, the Prime Minister Ariel Sharon. We'll continue working for the day when the map of the Middle East shows two democratic states, Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace and security. The following is, but so, okay, that's President Bush. Now, this is an excerpt from his briefing where he congratulates Israeli Prime Minister Sharon on the completion of the Gaza evacuation. First of all, Bush says, I want to congratulate Prime Minister Sharon for having a very tough decision. As I said in my remarks yesterday in Salt Lake City, the Prime Minister made a courageous decision to withdraw from Gaza. Now, okay, so now the deal's been done, and so what happens next? I think some people will be surprised and have heard it, and some people don't know. What happened, but it's a hurricane, and let me see if I guess I don't really want to go into it with that. I don't think I'm going to have time for before break. But I guess I could start it. Okay, where's it at? Okay. Tropical depression, 12, becomes Katrina's Israeli's disengagement, evacuation, eviction began on Wednesday, August 17th, and ended on Tuesday, August 13th. So remember
23rd.
These days. What?
23rd.
Yeah, okay. So the evacuation and eviction began on August 17th and ended on Tuesday, August 23rd. According to CNN, Israel evacuated the last settlers and protesters from the West Bank settlement of Hamas on Tuesday, August 23rd, completing its historic withdrawal of civilians from 25 settlements in Gaza and the West Bank. Authorities used force at times on Tuesday, August 23rd, to clear the two remaining West Bank settlements, Hamas and Sinjar. Okay, now remember those dates, folks, and we'll brush back on that when we come back here in a minute. But I want to remind you to go over to prophecyhour.com, and over there you can find links to the Mission Church and everything about our ministry. Please go check us out. You can find all the different ways to listen to the radio program. You can find a direct link to listen live on American Voice Radio, because that's where you listen live at. And of course, you're on listening by C-band satellite someplace or on the FN up there in Oregon. That's how you listen. But just go over, click on it, it'll tell you how to listen live. You can find everything out about the ministry. I know I'm repeating myself, but I want to make sure you know that. And you can find a way to contact us over there. So please do all those things. Check it out, prophecyhour.com. And you can even go over and check out where we even later on post these programs on YouTube. We are on YouTube live right now from AVR's website, but not ours. Ours will just be after it's changed around, and it'll be put up later. So, folks, go over and check us out, prophecyhour.com, and we'll be back in about 4 minutes, I guess.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
Only but for a moment, when measured on God's time, we'll be seated together at the table of the Lord to dine. Save me a place beside you till my journey on earth is done. And you'll be the second one that I'll see. But first I want to see God's Son. Just a moment and I'll be there. But in the meantime, God's love I'll share.
Thank you. Venerable Bede was an Anglo-Saxon theologian who lived in the late 7th and early 8th century. He devoted himself to the study of Scripture at a very young age, learning Greek, Hebrew, and Latin. The writings of Bede provide important information as to the traditions of Easter in the Anglo-Saxon Church. In 664 AD, the Synod of Whitby was held in the Kingdom of Northumbria. The principal discussion of the Synod was centered around the question as to the timing of the celebration of Easter. Should it be reckoned according to Celtic tradition or by Roman tradition? The decision of the Synod was in favor of Rome, which brought England more in line with the Roman Church in Europe. Bede attempted to defend from a theological standpoint the decision of the Synod to replace the Celtic reckoning of Easter with that of the Romans. He tells us that the heathen Anglo-Saxons called the fourth month Easter month, after their goddess Eostre. Bede says that Easter was one of the most important spring festivals among pre-Christian Germanic people, and that it was dedicated to the goddess Ostara, or Eostre, whose name suggests east, and thus dawn and morning light. Bede records that the name of the festival was transferred to the celebration of Christ's resurrection when Anglo-Saxon and German heathens converted to Christianity. Scriptures warn that the name of pagan gods are not even to be spoken, yet each year in traditional Christian churches around the world, the name of a pagan fertility goddess is proclaimed with honor. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Back. This is Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Okay, we were talking about an article that came out in the first half of the program from Saudi Arabia that talked about the new peace plan that's coming between, that is called the Deal of the Century, by President Trump over a peace deal with between Israel and the Palestinians. And we talked about that, and now I was telling them about what happened, the breakdown of what happened with Katrina when the land was divided before. So, now, let's go back over this part of it first. So, at the first part of it, the deal was completed on, what, the 23rd, right? Yeah, the deal with the final evacuation of getting them out of the final evacuation occurred on Monday, August 22nd, actually, but they part of it on the 23rd. But just keep these dates in mind. Okay, now start back up here, Mom.
On Tuesday afternoon, August 23rd, 2005, Tropical Depression 12 formed. By 11 a.m. on Wednesday, August 24th, the newly formed tropical depression was upgraded to a tropical storm, Katrina. And by 5 p.m. on Thursday, August 25th, Katrina became a hurricane. On Friday, August 26th, Hurricane Katrina hit southeast Florida. By Monday, August 29th, Katrina had become a fierce and enormous Category 4 hurricane that hit Louisiana, Mississippi, and Alabama, devastating the city of New Orleans. It is now being called the largest natural disaster in U.S. history.
Okay. So a correlation that we have here that's starting to build. So the evacuation was, by the Coins report, said was actually done on the 24th, and it was, what was it?
The final evacuation was done on the 22nd. But they went in and did a check on the 23rd to make sure everybody was gone.
Okay. All right. Okay. So there's the point.
And that's the same day the storm started forming. The same day they did the check is the same day. It's 23rd. They checked to make sure everybody was gone. That's the same day at noon the storm started.
Right, right. So start to see a correlation here. Okay, so, and you stop for it right here. And it is now called the largest natural disaster in U.S. history. But it's amazing what else was going on with it. You know, just show these correlations. I'll let my
Now, remember, we talked about this in church when it happened. There was 9,000 Israelis that were evicted from their government, and shortly thereafter, a million Americans were evicted by Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, and blessings and curses. You know, Abraham says, Father said, I'll bless those who bless you, curse those who curse you. So many more Americans were evicted than there was Israel. But let's go on from here. Look at these other correlations.
Israeli security teams went from home to home to evict Israelis, while teams of soldiers went home to home in New Orleans evicting people. Israeli has an evacuee program with people spread throughout Israel in hotels lodged in makeshift homes and living in tents. Texas has other U.S. states and other U.S. states are absorbing record numbers of Katrina evacuees.
Okay, so both problems, the same kind of problem, you know. This,
right.
It's the
people without homes, right.
Right, right, okay.
President Bush's home state of Texas has more than 250,000 evacuees. Houston's Astrodome is filled with 33,000 people. There are 150,000 refugees in Houston's 55,000 hotel rooms, 20 Red Cross facilities, and 20 faith-based shelters.
That's pretty amazing. But and notice also it's Bush's, you know, who helped finagle this thing, President Bush's home state.
All right.
Go ahead.
Well, 27,000 homes were...
No, that's 2,700.
Okay. 2,700 homes were demolished in Gaza and 300 homes in northern Samaria. Tens of thousands of homes were demolished in the southern U.S. with many more severely damaged. Businesses were forcefully abandoned in Gaza, Israel. Many businesses will have to be abandoned in Louisiana and other Gulf Coast cities. Buses took Israelis out of Gaza and northern Samaria to their temporary homes, while buses took New Orleans residents to their temporary homes in Texas and southern states.
Yeah, amen. So you see, almost tit for tat, the same thing's happening. And they had to use force to get some of the people out of Gaza, out of their homes, and they had to use force also to get some of the people out of their homes also in Katrina.
Right.
And so, I mean, this is like tit for tat. But, oh, not tit for tat. It's for, you did a little to Israel, but I'm doing a bunch more to you. Okay, so we'll move
on. That's like the body for an arm.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Note about Ariel Sharon. Okay. Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon saw the largest eviction in Jews in Israeli's history. President Bush will observe the largest natural disaster and displacement of people in the U.S. history. Note about Ariel Sharon.
Okay, stop. I'll do this. Now, listen to this. You know, Ariel Sharon, aftermath, this was 2005, but let's just keep this as a note. We'll explain more of it in a little bit, but after he suffered a stroke on January 4th, 2006. After that, Sharon remained in a permanent vegetative state until his death in 2014. And Pastor Carl and I have talked about that a bunch of times because it's the rabbi who found Messiah, and we'll probably talk about that again on the next program. And now Bush, so that's what Sharon got out of the deal. You know, that's what happened to him. Okay, but President Bush, prior to Katrina, President Bush was super popular because he came in and was taking us to war against the people that hit us on 9/11, you know, and he was real, and America was formed. But after this, he came out, aftermath of this is he got a lot of bad ratings about what he did to help in Katrina, even though that he did look like he did good. But he also, by the time he came out of office, he had one of the lowest approval ratings of any U.S. president, and he also let us out with the financial crash of 2008. Yeah. So not only did America suffer...
That's his legacy now.
His legacy, but it's right. also America's legacy. Right. They were We were punished with Katrina
right.
and a financial crisis that also went worldwide. And so that
and we're still recovering from that.
Right. But also the thing about the worldwide financial crisis, it shows not only punished because other parts of the world, the United Nations, have been forcing the peace deal also. So it also hit the whole world. The impact of that, I believe that was the father hand, you know. But anyway, Bush came out with a terrible legacy.
Yet, despite the enormous influx from across the U.S. and of National Guard reservists, units of the Federal Army and Marines, the Coast Guards, airmen, firefighters from Los Angeles, and even Texas came wardens in boats, the logistics of evacuating the remaining residents from the flooded suburbs and collecting possibly thousands of bodies present enormous challenges. They also expose flaws in management, structure, and communication.
Okay, so in other words, it was really, really hard, okay? Here's a correlation. Kush Katif, which is part of the place they were evacuated in Israel, was a very important agricultural area for Israel. New Orleans port exported most of the Midwest agricultural production.
So they were both very important agricultural production places that were destroyed.
Yeah, amen, amen. Now, we already read this, right? Okay. You see the correlation. So now here's what we're building up to. Let's go with this. This is going to fall on President Bush. Now, if it is indeed mandated by the Father that Jerusalem will be divided and that the land, all this will happen, I do believe President Trump was brought in for a time like this. I have always believed, as there are some prophets, and now I've found other people that believe the same thing that I've been saying on the radio from the first, is that President Trump was given to us, but how long he'll stay and how much of a blessing depends on us praying for him and standing with him. And so, but if this happens, President Bush could very well maybe not even win the 2020 election. And if a Democrat wins a 2020 election, now all the garbage that they're putting out, you can guess what America would be like after President Bush, let's say the Democrats put in, you put in a Democrat president, and socialism hits, what do you think about this country?
There ain't going to be no country.
Yeah, it'll probably go to civil war. But still, I do believe President Trump was born for a time like this. Now, here's some information about President Trump.
Okay, Trump was born on the night of June 14th, 1946, within 15 minutes of a total lunar eclipse, and 700 days before the State of Israel was established. Trump's lucky sevens didn't end there. When he was sworn in the presidential as president on January 20th, 2017, he was 70 years old, 7 months and 7 days.
Stop. Now, I don't believe in coincidences, but really, yeah. Look at all those sevens. And we know that that is a blessed number. Okay, but then I found this, too. Now, read this.
Australian pastor Steve Chilioadlante says there's a direct connection between President Donald Trump and signs in the heavens that are referred to as blood moons. He points out that Trump was born in 1946 during a blood moon, and the latest blood moon on January 2021, 2019, came at the midpoint of Trump's first term in office. 2019, it's already happened. Okay.
Right, yeah, go on.
And there was a super blue blood moon over Jerusalem the day after Trump's first State of the Union address. Coincidence?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Well, okay, so you have all these sevens, you have all these blood moons, but folks, you have to know that the temple this third temple is a temple of the Antichrist. And, you know, you can, I can easily prove that. That's easily proven. People say, well, Yeshua has to have a place to rule from. But Yeshua is going to build the temple. And it talks about this in Ezekiel. And I think it's chapter 41 on up to about 48. And he, in there it says Yahweh, but there are sometimes, if you look at the Yahweh, you can see it's actually Elohim or whatever, but it's the pluralistic part of it. But it's Yeshua that builds the temple. And the temple, as I've discussed before in other programs, the temple is that Yeshua will reign from is in precise, it's laid out in Ezekiel.
Right.
It's got precise how long the walls will be, how long this will be, how big this will be, just as the Father always does it. Well, if man comes and do it, and like we've been hearing that the new temple will have some modern things in it and so on and so forth, would not be, go along with the same pattern of Ezekiel that's it found in Ezekiel. And so that temple is going to be, that will be built, will be, if there is indeed a temple built before Yeshua returns, it'll be just basically the temple of the Antichrist. So is the temple part of Bible prophecy? It sure looks like it. But again, I'm not thus saith the Lord, because I don't believe in that unless he spoke it right directly to my ear and on some things. So this is really craziness that's coming on. And here's my point to the people. If Trump is blessed for this, America still sees blessings, because if that's what's supposed to be done, we need somebody to make sure that these things come about. And so America may escape from judgment because the Father put Trump there to do it. But we don't know if he does indeed do it and it follows the pattern, previous pattern that we've seen before, tit for tat for land giveaway, then America is in deep trouble.
I believe we're in deep trouble.
Right, right. And, you know, so anyway, folks, you need to pray about getting ready. And that only doesn't mean just physically, but that means spiritually. You've got to get ready both ways. In fact, you need to be spiritually prepared first. And then after that, I believe that the Father will lead you into any other preparations that you need. What do you think?
I think you should be ready any day, any minute, any hour, any time.
Well, what about do you think that, what about food? Do you think people should stock up? What do you think they should do?
Well, the scriptures say, fear not what you eat, what you wear, and what you act. Just trust in me and I'll provide. So I just trust in the Lord.
Right, but
you do have to do some preparation for yourself, and I agree with that too.
Well,
but I'm not worried about us around here. I can feed everybody.
Right, that I'm not talking about us.
Okay,
that's off the table. We're not talking about our personal preparation.
Yes, you need to be prepared.
Okay, and I mean it's like this. There's always been preparation, even though if you're spiritually prepared, then you hear from the Father,
right,
and then you're led to be do it. I mean, come on. Noah built an ark. It took him 100 years, basically.
Persecuted all the way for it.
Right, right. He built an ark. But here's the point. He built an ark. Lot had to leave Sodom and Gomorrah.
Right.
He couldn't stay where he's at. He still had to do his part. And you see in both of these cases, he had to do his part. It's always been, okay, I warn you, whatever, you have to do your part. And then after you can't do anymore or you've done your part, then the Father fulfills in the rest.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, you know, I have known people that from doing ministry over all these years that I know people that have back in the 90s were building refuges up in the Rocky Mountains and different places for people that they believed that they would see coming up the sides of the mountain when California was destroyed and burned up, and that they would bring them in for refuge. And I know other places were refuge places. You know, it's just like Ken Uptegrove, which is a guy that had on our radio programs in Arkansas. You probably heard me talk about it before. I said, yeah, I'd like to have a place down there. And it's a refuge place. And he, by the way, folks, I'd have him back on if you want to hear from him again. But he is indeed, even right now, making deals with people. And there are people that are fleeing to the Ozarks and making for them a good lifestyle. And not just because of disasters. It's just they're tired of all the garbage, you know.
Yeah, living off the land, learning how to do it the way the Lord was meant to, yeah.
Right, and starting farms, and now there's a process of a couple of communities,
making their own electricity and getting well water and all the whole nine yards.
Right, but there, like I'm saying, there is in that part where Kim's talking about that there are some communities right now that they're in the process of starting up. There's some people moving there and buying up and making communities.
Didn't Brother Ben have a community place going on for a minute, or did he just
he's off the picture? That's off the picture. That's off the gram. But yeah, back in the '90s, he started to do. That's a long story. There, anyway, and a lot of people did. You know, a lot of people did in the '90s, but they, you know, lost faith when it didn't come immediately. I mean, come on, look how this is something a lot of people don't get. Look how long warnings are sometimes. Now, with Lot, he got it quick, okay? But Noah, it took 100 years to build the ark. That was a lot of grace given for him to warn the people, you know, to be able to be saved. And, of course, it didn't turn to it. We've had the word forever, I mean, it seems like.
And people seem to be turning. Well, there are people coming to the word, but there's a lot of people turning away from it.
Well, even people that follow the word, you know, that believe in the word or believe in Yeshua, they don't get that these things that are prophesied are really going to happen, because people have been prophesying, oh, this is going to happen, setting dates.
Right.
Too many people have set dates. I'm not setting any dates. I believe it will be with my lifetime, but I can't say thus saith the Father.
Then they got to remember that he also said a blink of his eye is like 1,000 years, so it could, you know, a blink of an eye.
Well, he said a day is 1,000 years.
Oh, okay, then 1,000 years is like a day, then, and that's what, boy, I'll tell you what, the older I get, or I said that word, didn't I? It seems like time speeds up faster and faster and faster.
Yeah, the radio program's almost over. You know,
I'm talking about years and days and months. Boy,
yeah.
They just keep going flying by.
Right. So anyway, it's just horrendous. And pray, be safe. But anyway, let me point out something else. You know, right now, what's the big deal is America is faced with an invasion. We're at a critical point right now. Even Senator Graham said, if this isn't a crisis, what the hell would be? You know, part of the Senate, even the Senate, looks like it's going to bring in and say that Trump's the vote will be that Trump shouldn't use emergency thing because it's not an emergency.
Oh.
It looks like they're going to go enough of the Republicans are going to go along with the Democrats and pass that resolution to say that Trump shouldn't use a national emergency to do it. But the point is, it is a national emergency. It is a national emergency. According to officials, more than 7,600 people tried to cross the U.S.-Mexican border. 76,000 people at the U.S.-Mexican border in February. Now, that's a leap in numbers from in the past 12 years. Of them, 7,249 were unaccompanied children. 40,385 were family units, according to totaling 60% of the apprehensions. And what it's saying is families are coming up now. They're busting them up now. And they're riding on trains. If it keeps up, I don't think South America is going to be empty. Graham says, I was blown away, noting that the number of families apprehended at the border is up 335%. The point is, these people, you know what they cost us? They cost housing an unaccompanied minor is $375 a day, which puts the United States on pace to spend $1.6 billion in 2019 to take and house these people.
If that's not a crisis, then like he said in his quote, if this is not a crisis, what the hell would be, unquote.
Right. It's an invasion. And the only thing stopping it, now Trump can veto that and go right on. And then there was a company actually that said for 1 point some odd billion that they'd build 200 and some odd miles.
I've seen that, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I posted it on Facebook. 200 and some odd miles.
I got it from Trump.
Anyway, 200 and some odd miles. of border wall for just $1.something billion. You know, he said, cut out the bureaucracy and we'll build it for that. So I think the wall will get built, but it all goes back to we need to stick up and pray for President Trump and pray for this country. And that doesn't just mean minorly. That means ongoing. Now, Wichita Mission Church, where are you at? You need church bill money? What do you need? Food? What do you need?
We always need money. We need what you need, what I need, what everybody needs. Yes, we need money. We need to pay bills. We need to buy meats and vegetables and needed things for the church. And right now, the clothes closet is pretty well empty. I mean, I've got clothes, but most of the clothes that I've been coming across are baby clothes and infant clothes and children's clothes. We need women's clothes and men's clothes.
Right. Amen.
So if you're in the area and you have some drop that are clean that they can just wear, just drop them off. We'll put them in the closet. They'll go the same day because they've pretty much cleaned it out. Uh-huh.
Amen. Well, so let's talk about what it takes to make a meal. You know, now if we're going to serve, like I'm going to serve hot dogs this week, it takes me at least over 12 packs of hot dogs, 12 packs of buns, pasta, because I do pasta salad on it. You know, that consists of a meal. To make a meal, how much meat do you usually put in, you know, a dish? How many pounds?
I put 5 pounds of hamburger or 6 pounds of chicken, 3 pound bags of chicken or 1 5-pound roll of hamburger.
Yeah, and
I used to use two 5-pound rolls, but the money got too tight, so I stretch it.
Right, and so, yeah, preferably I'd rather put 10 pounds in each one of them, but the people don't, right. But that would feed up to 60 or 70 people with pasta and, of course, some other dish that we eat on the side, whether it's potatoes. It usually takes about, what, 20 pounds of potatoes or 10 pounds what?
Depending on what all you're making with it. If you're going to have two or three other dishes, then you can go with, like, 15 pounds. But if you're just going to have potatoes and one other thing, then you need 20, 25, 30 pounds.
Right, to feed the people. And of course, bread. How much? We go through a lot of bread, but
for the sandwiches, we do 10 to 12 loaves, and then for dinner, it's 6 loaves. So we go through about 20 loaves every Tuesday and Friday.
Yeah, 20 loaves of bread. So, folks, this just gives you an idea of what we need. And of course, you know, we've got electric, gas, water, all those things. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. We do really need your help. But right now, what I want to emphasize on you, too, is pray about a Passover donation. And if you make a Passover donation, please mark it as Passover. But also, we're really praying, and we need some sponsors for radio. Now, I know people bless us, but we need some specific donations to pay radio every month. So pray about making an ongoing donation for radio, because airtime is not free. And we're on, like I say, we're not just on the Internet. Even I have to even pay for the Internet. I have to pay for the website that
it
goes
podcast,
on
right?
And all those, and it go, and I have to pay for his airtime, C-band satellite and all that. So it takes money. And yes, we are getting some improvements to the office that's been coming in. We have a gentleman that came forward and has helped us out with that. But there's some things that we still need. So if you want to help us on office improvements, equipment and things that we're updating, get in touch with me. So, again, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It is not free.
You can donate online or over the phone or by mail in a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com.
Right, folks. So, prophecyhour.com, check it all out. And, but remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repentant sins, and he rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and only through him, is the way to the Father. Remember what, Mother? Always be a blessing to who?
To others.
To others.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Oh, okay. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return. You want to tell him goodbye?
Shalom. See you. Not next week. I do food bank. Week after.
Okay. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would please be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
Shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the Internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.